Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sophie, and this is She's All Fat, the podcast for fat positivity, radical self-love, and chill vibes only. Welcome to minisode number 2. We're only 1 week away from getting the special key to unlock our time capsule season of episodes we recorded before COVID. But until then, we've got a chub-packed minisode for you. So first, we're going to do some quarantine obsessions with senior producer Lynn and junior producer Yelly. And then later, you're going to hear some calls from all of you. All those calls that we've asked you to call in. We have some great obsessions from our Hannahs and H's. Here we go. We are here. The whole team is here. Me and Yelly and Lynn. And we're here to tell you some of our quarantine obsessions as of late.
As of late.
I think we should go in a round this time. What do you guys think?
I like that.
Okay. I want to start with Yelly because I'm very curious what your first one is about.
Okay. My first obsession is my mom and her parrot. So my mom is a personal support worker, PSW, which basically means that she just goes into retirement homes and like old people's houses and hangs out with them. And one of her patients recently passed away, which is very sad. But in his will, he left her his pet parrot.
Whoa.
So she's just going to have a new parrot friend.
Oh my God. How old is the parrot?
I'm obsessed with it. I have no idea. I actually should text and ask. I texted her this morning and I was like, oh, how's it going? Like, how are all your patients doing? And she basically just texted back and was like, oh, this person died. He left me his parrot.
Oh my God.
So
does that happen often to your mom?
No. Well, my dining room chairs are actually also from one of her patients. She actually does get given a strange amount of things from people she
makes
works
an impact.
With. She does. She's very sweet. But yeah, she has had parrots growing up when she was younger. She grew up in Venezuela and she had a huge yard. So she had like 6 dogs and 3 cats at one point. And like she's had a huge tortoise like Victor does.
So she's going to be a good parrot. She's going to be a good parrot owner.
Yeah.
Parrots can live a long time, right? They can live 40 years or something like that. That's Whoa. Could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can live a long time. Wow. There's a parrot I follow on TikTok that only has feathers on its head because it was so anxious after its owner died, it pulled out all its other feathers.
Oh, God.
That's so sad.
And now it's running a TikTok.
Well, no, it's at a new house and it's like happy, but it does look like just a little chicken with only hair on its head.
Oh, feathers. My God.
I can't wait for your mom to have her new parrot. I hope he's happy.
Send us a picture.
I will. We also get to name it because apparently it didn't have a name.
It didn't have a name?
No.
Wow.
Okay, identity crisis.
I know.
Right? So I'm thinking of parrot names now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, please tweet at us if you have an idea for Yelly's mom's new parrot name.
Yes, please.
Call it dumpling or something fat related, please. Like, yes.
Oh, that was cute.
Okay, Lynn, what's your first obsession?
Okay, well, since we're going in a round, I just want to make it clear off the bat that all of my obsessions start with the letter P, and I did change one of them so that this would be the case. So I don't know, I want that to be out there.
I want people to appreciate that for you.
I do. But my first obsession is the new season of Pen 15, which just came out. It is
so good.
So good.
Explain what it is for people who may not know what it is.
Okay, for people who may not know, the first season came out like a while
ago,
like Yeah, more than a year ago. But it's basically this comedy about two middle school girls who are like best friends and, you know, they're just like going through middle school in the 90s or whatever. But they're played by two 30-year-olds, like the 30-year-old comedians who came up with the concept for the show. But all of the other cast members are actual like 12, 13-year-olds or however old you are when you're in seventh grade.
Yeah, like 12, 13, I guess.
It's like I was reading an article about this new season of it and how like you could have walked away from the first season being like, okay, so like, I get it. Like, that's the gimmick. That's the bit. I don't know how they're going to do a second season. But then, like, it's not even, like, it's not a bit anymore. They're able to capture the emotions that you are feeling as, like, a middle schooler because they're, like, 30, you know? They've, like,
yeah,
they reflected on it. And so it's just much more intense. And this season is a lot more, I was watching it with my friend Julia, and they were like, whoa, like the balance of heaviness and like lightheartedness is definitely like on the heavier side this season. But in the latter half of the season, it gets a little bit more light and just like really, really wacky. And I love my favorite thing about it. And my favorite thing about the first season too is like the comedians, their names are Anna and Maya. They like really capture how touchy kids are with each other, especially yeah. like two girls who are best friends. Like they're always smashing their faces together. And like,
yes.
I don't think I would have like remembered that about being in seventh grade.
I love Pen 15.
It's so good.
It's really fun. I mean, I was talking to my sister about it because in the first season, there's an episode that just feels so spot on for my age exactly when they like learn how to use AIM and they're like on the computer and stuff. But I wonder how it is for people who didn't have that time of like now kids with the internet. First of all, the internet's way different. And second of all, they have parents who understand what the internet is. Whereas at that time, nobody knew what we were weird sex shit we were doing on like AOL forums. You know what I mean? I love that aspect of it. It's just a great show. Okay. My first obsession is TikTok recipes because I can watch them over and over until I understand the techniques that they're using and look up anything that I don't understand. I've been watching a lot of TikTok food stuff, and it's not as helpful for me when it's like a whole meal because the minute of a TikTok isn't long enough to really show how to do anything. But for snacks and side dishes, you can like do pretty well in a TikTok. For example, I watched this one TikTok that I think is like pretty popular about how to make really good like crispy side potatoes like 100 times, and then I made it and it worked pretty well.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it.
Yay,
it worked. But I had to like really watch it a bunch of times to understand, like they showed how to like move it around the pot in the right way and like how to mush stuff up a little bit and then what to put on it. But it's helpful for me because like I don't feel as overwhelmed because it's literally just a minute, even though there's like multiple steps. Yeah. I don't know if that sounds silly or not.
No, that
totally
makes
sense.
Yes, I love TikTok recipes. Also, there's a lot of people on there who do different recipes and different food stuff in very interesting ways. I'm not vegan, but I follow a couple vegan TikTokers because they have like interesting recipes and stuff. And I also like following people who cook things that I've never cooked or seen cooked. There's a woman who does a lot of like Korean food and like a lot of Japanese food, which is not, again, my mom cooked a lot of chicken breast with rice-a-roni. Like she didn't have time, you know what I mean? So like we never made anything outside of our wheelhouse really. So it's like fun to watch how these things are made without, like, I get intimidated by food media in general sometimes because I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch an hour about something, but this has helped me get more into various stuff.
Great rec.
Thank you. Okay, Yelly, I'm excited for your next obsession.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Next obsession is Among Us. I think that the game came out a couple of years ago, actually, but it's just now in the past couple of weeks that everybody has kind of been obsessed with it. For anyone who hasn't played it, it's basically like the game Mafia that you play as a kid, or I think that some people call it Werewolf. You're with a bunch of other people, and the characters are like little jelly beans that run around in a really funny way, and it's really cute. And you are either an imposter or a crewmate. As an imposter, your job is to go around and basically kill as many of the crewmates as possible without getting caught.
Yeah.
And as a crewmate, your job is to finish a bunch of tasks that are around the ship. So, for example, one of the tasks is to swipe your card in the admin room or something like that. And essentially, the way that you win is either by finishing all your tasks collectively as a crew or by kicking off the imposter. So it's like kind of a two-pronged game but way of winning.
It's like very fun because you have to like run around on the app. And I don't think you're supposed to talk to each other, but every time I've played it, we've like been on FaceTime with everyone playing it. And then you just like accuse each other the whole time.
I've been playing with Haley's siblings and my sisters collectively, and we played for 8 hours on Sunday.
Oh, it was my so God. Fun.
We've played a couple times. The first couple times when I was a crew member, I didn't even do anything because I just was trying to complete the tasks. I was into the task part of the game. And also Victor kept getting killed first by whoever was the imposter. He didn't get to do like anything the whole time we played. It was really fun. It's very fun. I highly recommend for people as well. Mm-hmm. What is your little character dressed as? Did you change their colors?
Yes, I have mine as the dark green color, and then it has the little sprout on the top. So it just looks like I'm a plant running around.
I did pink and a cowboy hat. I love it.
Spot on.
We should play Among Us with us. Okay, Lynn, what's your next obsession?
My next obsession is Phoebe Bridgers' new album, Punisher. Starts with a P. It's really good. I love her so much. And on first listen, I was like, I don't know. Like, the songs, like, didn't sound like that distinct to me, like, to each other. But then the other night, I was, like, doing some crafts in my room. And I listened all the way through again and, like, really heard each of the songs. Okay, so I'm going to say my favorites. My number one favorite is the last song, which is called I Know the End. It has a really good music video where at the end she, like, makes out with an older version of herself.
Wow.
That one's my favorite. I See You. One of the lyrics is, I hate your mom. I hate when she opens her mouth, which is really funny.
Damn.
And then the single for this album was Kyoto, which is like a bop, and I really like it.
I gotta listen to it.
Yeah, cool. That's my obsession.
Okay, my next obsession is the book I've been reading, or I finished reading with my other book club called The Color of Law. I highly recommend if anybody is interested in getting more understanding of housing discrimination in the U.S. It's not a light read. It's like written by a lawyer and it's like written a little bit like law argument style. You know, there's like a lot of facts, which it's different from Fearing the Black Body, which is very academic. This is academic just in a different way. There's a lot of stuff in there that I had never learned about or heard about. It helped me understand more, like put cultural things in context, even like stuff I had learned about in AP US history, but hadn't learned this part of it, like the ways that housing built during and after the world wars in the US was segregated and how that like affected things later. It really just gives context to a lot of things that are now like pretty entrenched problems in the US and like how the government specifically chose to make them that way, like for segregation, basically. It was very useful for me because it's definitely an area of knowledge that I just had none of. And also, like, I found it helpful to get a broader understanding of, like, how this kind of legal argument would be set up as someone who's, like, never going to be a lawyer. The point of the book is that he's making the argument that segregation in the U.S. is, like, partially, if not almost entirely, created by housing policies of the government, basically. Instead of it being like, well, people just wanted to live separately because white people like to live with white people or like whatever. Yeah. So if anyone wants to know more about those topics, I recommend. It's not an easy read and it's upsetting in the way that like racism, reading about historical racism is upsetting. It's not like a graphic description of like violent encounters or anything, but it is like upsetting to read through and be like, white people have fucked over black people in this country for so long. Not that that's a surprise.
Sometimes it's surprising just like how planned out and specific it is.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I recommend it if you're looking to learn more about that. And I also recommend it if you miss academic textbooks and you want to feel like you've learned something, like in a college course. Yeah. Junior producer Yelly, what's your third obsession?
My third obsession is a website called Twitch. It's basically like YouTube, but for gaming. And it's mostly people who are live streaming games. And I watch it more than I watch anything else, basically.
Oh my gosh.
I usually wake up in the morning and there's a streamer that I follow called Kick the PJ, and he always streams around the time I wake up to about like early afternoon my time, because he lives somewhere in Europe. So I truly just wake up every morning and watch him stream for a couple of hours and then get my day started. And it's part of my routine now, and I love it.
What do you like about watching gaming?
I like it because it's mostly just very lighthearted and I'm not emotionally invested in it. So it just is like, I will sit and play Animal Crossing while I watch it and I won't feel like I'm missing anything. But also a big part of it is that there's a live chat and whoever's playing the game is also talking to people in the chat. So it's like a community as well. And it makes me feel a little bit less alone during a pandemic where you can't see anybody.
Yeah. What games do you like to watch people stream?
I really like Breath of the Wild, the Legend of Zelda game, because I want to play it, but it's way too expensive for me right now. So I just live vicariously through other people.
I have never watched a Twitch stream, but I know that, you know, little teaser for next season, we're going to interview some people who are doing that. So maybe people should get into it. Who are some of your favorite Twitch streamers?
I love Arden Rose, Kick the PJ, Kim Baker is Baking is one. And I also love, her name is Gumpita. She's Latina and she streams exclusively only when I'm sleeping, which is frustrating. No. But I go back and rewatch them.
These are great recs.
We'll link them.
I have always thought of Twitch as like boy gamer bros.
Yeah.
You know?
Same. So did I. And then I started getting into it and it's, there's a lot of different people.
Sorry, Lynn just made her own Bitmoji appear or Animoji appear on the screen. Hello. Lil Lynn. Lynn and Lil Lynn.
I'm so sorry. I did do it on purpose, but I didn't mean to distract.
Oh my God. Okay, Lynn, tell us your last obsession that starts with a P.
My last obsession is actually two P's, pocket pools. This was our call to action a couple weeks ago. My friend Josie on Twitter, she's at NosyJaren, I'll put it in the show notes, has been doing what she calls pocket pools, which is like collecting people's pocket change, meaning that you can donate like $1, you can donate $10, you can donate however much to her Venmo. And every week she does a few like big donation pools for mostly like mutual aid stuff. Like she's been doing a lot of pooling for people without houses who are being affected by the fires in the West Coast. I've been like tagging just like random people who have a lot of followers like in the posts and being like, can you retweet this? And then like Josie gets like an extra $2,000.
Hell yeah.
To donate. Awesome. It's like literally so easy. Like even if you don't have $2 to donate, like it's literally so easy to like go tag a celebrity or like send it to a friend who like has a big following. Your impact can be huge.
Love that. I love
that. That's very cool.
Mutual aid funds. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Okay. My final obsession is my own ignorance, because I haven't had a moment like this in a long time where, you know, when you just realize something that like you just always thought, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, how did I think that? I'm so stupid. Like I realized I thought the wrong thing for so long.
Oh no.
Okay. So last night I realized, because of watching Haley's homemade pumpkin spice latte video, Haley is Yelly's wife, who people should know about because I aggressively want them to subscribe to her channel and Patreon. She made her own like pumpkin spice latte at home. And then she was like, you know, the like pumpkin pie spice doesn't actually taste like pumpkin. And then I was like thinking about it. And then I was like, I've never had a pumpkin spice latte because I always was like, why would I want to taste coffee with pumpkin flavor? Because I always thought that a pumpkin spice latte had pumpkin flavor in it. Like pumpkin, not like pumpkin spice. I didn't know what pumpkin spice was. I realized this last night and then I was like, oh my God, it's literally just like a cinnamon iced latte or some shit. And I've been sitting here the whole time like, why would I ever want to have pumpkin plus coffee? Who would drink that?
I like have had a pumpkin spice latte. Doesn't it taste like pumpkin?
Well, so here's the thing is that people associate it with pumpkin because it's the spices that go in pumpkin pie and lots of pumpkin flavored things. But it's not the flavor of pumpkin itself. It's the spices that enhance the flavor.
So I wrote, first of all, it was like I didn't like it. Second of all, I can't believe that means that I projected a taste that I then didn't like.
Yep.
Into my coffee drink.
I texted my sister about it and she was like, LOL, I don't like them anyways. I was like, oh my God, I just feel like for so long, I was just like, yeah, basic girls love pumpkin coffee, I guess. Like, can't believe I'm such a basic girl and I don't like it. It's so weird. Like,
you're like, seems like I should like this.
Seems like I should like this thing, but I just don't like pumpkin. And then to realize that it's just like brown spices, not pumpkin at all. I was just like, wow, this is a time when my like not being able to cook or bake or anything really like bit me on the butt. I had no idea. I laughed for so long.
Yeah, I didn't have that realization either until Haley said it. And I was like, true.
Yeah.
Haley's so freaking smart.
Haley made me realize that for years, I thought it tasted like some sort of pumpkin pie drink. And I don't want pumpkin. I don't want to taste pumpkin in coffee.
But the thing is, I wonder if you drink it, if you will taste.
Probably not, because I don't eat pumpkin stuff, you know, because I don't like the taste of pumpkin, really. But
I love pumpkin.
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't had the right thing. I don't like pies that much.
Pumpkin pie, I don't like. But like a pumpkin muffin, like a pumpkin bread, delish.
I think I've liked pumpkin bread before, but not.
I'm a slut for a good pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie.
The way you like queued up that word, like slut.
I'm so excited. Thanksgiving is in October here in Canada, and I'm really ready to buy pumpkin pie every week and just eat it.
Oh my gosh. I think I don't like the texture of pie. You know, I don't like mushy things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've never explored it. It just was really, I thought about it for a long time. Like, I just was like, oh yeah, like, you really played yourself there, Soph. You really had no idea about this drink.
Wait, okay, so Sophie, when are you going to try one?
Immediately, as soon as I can. But I was like thinking about how it has to be like, I've got to get a decaf one because I haven't had real coffee in like a long time. I gotta try pumpkin spice now. Tweet me if you think I'll like pumpkin spice. Do you guys think I'm gonna like it? Can't tell, huh?
I don't know. I really can't tell.
It's such a specific flavor.
Okay, well, I just wanted to share with you guys and with everyone about that realization. I like being able to laugh at something silly or stupid that I did, you know, as long as it's not harmful to anybody. You know what I mean? The only person I hurt by not eating PSLs this whole time was myself.
By not eating them.
Oh, my God. Okay, this was our long obsessions for this no longer mini-sode, I don't think. Thank you all for listening. I hope you liked hearing our quarantine obsessions. I hope you liked hanging out with my team. I love hanging out with them. And now Yelly and I are going to hashtag hang out more and record an episode of Chubby Detectives for Patreon. So if you want to hear us answer questions about cats from my mom, join the Patreon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hi, Fatnally. It's Hannah. This quarantine, I'm bringing back kind of an old obsession from when I wrote my senior thesis for my undergrad degree in history. It is Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings. And it's a really amazing book that talks about the racial origins of fat phobia, specifically in regard to Black people. It was so enlightening for me. I always knew that there were connections to fat phobia in regards to racism. And when I started looking into it, it became the actual topic of my thesis. And this book was a huge part of that. It's an amazing read. It's so enlightening. And since we are all working towards Black liberation in this country right now, or we should be, that's my obsession. That's my recommendation. Okay. Love you all.
Hi, Fatmally. This is
Hannah
from Houston, Texas. And my quarantine obsession has been baking. So I travel a lot for work, and it's been a highlight of my quarantine to spend some time in the kitchen and bake. I have found some success with sourdough baking. My sourdough starter is alive and well and has resulted in some pretty nice loaves. I failed many, many times, but refused to give up to the point where I was dreaming in my dreams about failing at baking sourdough. So I'm pretty happy that I've found some measure of success. One action item in the name of Black liberation that I would suggest is donating money to important campaigns and congressional races, Senate races, local elections, donating money to candidates that represent your values all across the country. So some of my campaign contributions recently have gone to Black candidates, including Charles Booker in Kentucky. One way to make sure that your voice is heard and that we're putting our money where our mouth is.
Hi, long time Fatmally listener, lover. So anyway, I wanted to share some of my current quarantine obsessions, some books, and just some thoughts. So one of my quarantine obsessions has been all the teen books. We're talking reread Twilight. We're talking I read Undead Girl Gang, which was a book that Julie Murphy recommended in the books episode you guys did a few seasons ago. Amazing. Could not recommend enough. So all of the teen books is obsession number one. Obsession number two, I had been thinking about it for so long, and I finally bit the bullet and bought the Rose Merino candles that you guys talked about so much in the first few seasons. And I love them. Not an ad. They smell so amazing. The succulent scent is so fresh, so clean, so delicious. Another quarantine obsession is skincare. I have become obsessed with this face mask. It's from the brand Farmacy. They sell it in Sephora. It is the Honey Potion face mask. It goes on warm. It smells so good. It like heats up on your face. So if you're a skincare lover, I could not recommend it enough. It is amazing. The last thing I wanted to recommend was a Black-owned business that I found on Etsy called, I believe it's called Zandra Beauty. She sells like lotion and scrubs and all of the self-care things. And the one item that I bought was a bunch of these bottles of lotion. The vanilla chai scented lotion smells amazing. So get out there, support a Black female owned business. And yeah, thanks so much for all of the free content throughout quarantine. Love you guys so much. Bye.
Hi, this is
Hannah.
I just wanted to get an episode idea. First of all, the 29-year-old fat woman who also lives at the intersection of fatness, being disabled because I'm partially blind, and I'm also asexual. So it'd be cool to talk about disabilities, especially blindness, and how I noticed that I've been treated differently in healthcare settings than a person who might be just fat, might be treated, you know, or even just like talking about fatness and sexuality, and because I've also heard that fatness can be desexualized, and you know how to do that justice if you don't necessarily want yourself to be sexualized, but you don't want people to be desexualized. I hope that makes sense. So like fatness and visual impairment or disability, and fatness when it comes to like LGBTQA or sexuality, any of that kind of stuff. Thanks.
And that's our minisode. Thank you to Hannah's and H's for your voicemails. We were thrilled to get them. If you want to tell us about your quarantine obsessions, leave a comment or ask us a question. You can call us at 213-375-5023. We want to do more call-in episodes and segments in the future, so keep a lookout on our socials for specific things we want to hear from you. You can also always call and just tell us whatever you want. Producing SAF in COVID times is made possible by our beloved patrons. If you join our Patreon at Team Paisley Moo Moo, you'll get access to our patrons-only Facebook group where I've been doing weekly live streams plus bonus minisodes every Friday. I love our Patreon family. They allow me to pay the bills over here at She's All Fat. Special thanks to Mary Manu, Melinda W., Charlotte Anderson, Ashley Brown, Natalia Warren, Emma Sullivan, Melissa Jarday, Hannah Alikani, Aaron Fitzer, and Anna McKeon. We could not make this show without you. She's All Fat was created by me, Sophie Carter Khan, and April K. Cuillo, who graduated. We are an independent production. If you'd like to support the work we do, you can join our Patreon by visiting patreon.com/she'sallfatpod. When you pledge to be a supporter, you'll get all sorts of goodies and extra content. Please make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's super important in making sure people find the show so we can grow the family. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the stuff we mentioned today. And don't forget to send us your questions at fyi@she'sallfatpod.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 213-375-5023, and we might even play it on the pod. Our episode ads are done in partnership with Acast. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, you can get started at acast.com. Our theme music was composed and produced by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. Our website was designed by Jesse Fish, and our logo is by Hannah Sanger. Lynn Barbera co-produced and edited this episode. Yelly Cruz is our magical junior producer. Our thin crony forever is Maria Bertel. I'm our host and co-producer. Our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter handles are at She's All Fat Pod. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Stay safe. We love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.